I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Now that child sexual exploiter Jeffrey Epstein is dead, the focus is turning away from him and to his associates. And it seems like a lot of his associates, not the people who aided and abetted him, but the people that he aided, were scientists. Epstein reportedly told a longtime friend that, "I only have two interests, science and pussy." And yes, he was a very coarse man, and probably a criminal. They're still looking into that. And he had a lot of money. We don't know where that came from, but he had a lot of money. And he liked funding science, and he liked hanging around scientists. And even after it was already clear that he was a child rapist and had spent his phony baloney time in prison, sort of, and got out, he was not abandoned by the scientific community because he had money, and he was willing to spread it around to the sciences, and a lot of people were very happy to take his very, very dirty money. Now, from everything that's been revealed so far, he was a very sick and twisted man. He seemed to have a fascination with eugenics, and there were multiple reports that he wanted to use his Santa Fe, New Mexico ranch in a plan to impregnate 20 women at a time as a means of strengthening the gene pool. Now, I don't think more of Epstein's genes would have strengthened the gene pool, and that's not even how it works. So as much as he might have loved science, he was kind of a crackpot when it came to science. Said he had an interest in cryogenics, which is crackpottery and transhumanism, where he wanted his head and his penis cryogenically frozen. I don't know what he anticipated would happen to his head and his penis. Now, there is no scientific evidence that you can do anything with a frozen head useful, other than maybe dissect it after you've thawed it out. And certainly nothing you can do with a thawed penis. And certainly by the time any technology comes forward to even begin to do anything, we'll have super penises by then, and his old penis in the freezer would be irrelevant. So probably he was joking, maybe. Now we know that his private island is Pedo Island. That doesn't mean that every single person who went to that island was involved in pedophilia. In 2006, he had 21 physicists come to visit the island for a meeting on gravity. And it was probably clear to every single one of the scientists that something was hinky going on there. Epstein was constantly followed around by three or four young women. But still, scientists hung out with him, knowing who he was, and took his money. And the one thing you should never do as a scientist is be in denial because you don't want to believe something. That kind of renders research useless. But many of these scientists were in absolute denial. When Epstein brought a bunch of scientists together, and they're all discussing their sciencey stuff, and he's in the back with six young girls, kissing and hugging with them, and you've got computer scientist Roger Schenck, who's there, but he says, "Oh, no, I never actually believed this underage thing. They might have been in their early 20s or late teens, but when I talked to them, they were always in college." Well, maybe only talked to the college ones. Claimed they were not high school girls. But when he was asked how he could determine that, because I can't determine it anymore. High school girls look pretty mature these days. But when asked about this, Roger Schenck said, "How would I know? I'm a professor. You don't think I know what a college girl looks like?" Well, actually, if you know anything about science, you can't tell. There have been studies shown that the way somebody looks does not determine what age they are. You cannot say, "This girl is 22, this girl is 16. You can't. They age at different rates. They mature at different rates. Scientifically, that's crap. You can have a 16-year-old who looks 22, and you can have a 22-year-old who looks 16. Ironically, their denial is being based on pseudoscientific nonsense, that you can determine someone's age just by looking at them. And I have a feeling that even if they didn't deny the fact that Epstein was constantly around inappropriately young women, they probably still would have taken the money. They probably still would have hung out on his island. When I look at the list of scientists who continued to be involved with him, it's very disappointing. Lawrence Krauss, Marvin Minsky, Roger Shank, Gregory Benford, George Church, Murray Gell-Mann, Stephen Jay Gould, David Gross, Stephen Hawking, Danny Hills, Stephen Costlin, Oliver Sacks, that one hurts. I don't know what they knew, but they were involved with this guy and took his money. And it was not a secret that he was a child rapist. This is a huge failure of science. And yes, science desperately needs money, especially since the federal government is turning its back on science. But this whole affair is just so sleazy. Epstein swapped geniuses like he swapped young women. And he didn't seem to really have much use for women scientists, except maybe some future eugenics breeding program. And we now know that some of these women, even if they weren't underage, although they typically were, many of them were sex slaves. We know this, such as Nadia Marcinko. She was a sex slave, known as the Gulfstream Girl. We know this now, but Shank is still in denial. Shank says, what does that mean, a sex slave? This is the thing I don't like the media for, because they come up with these ideas, sex slave. He bought her from her parents, and yes, he was having sex with her and 17 other girls. I don't see her as being underage. I did occasionally talk to her because she was around a lot. She didn't seem like a child. Well, that statement, if you said that to my face, would make you, Shank, to me, appear to be a monster. You just basically said it was no big deal if she was a sex slave, and what does that even mean? You're a monster. Now, Roger Shank, because of his comments, has certainly sullied his own reputation. And I'm not saying that all these other scientists have done the same thing, because Epstein was involved with many, many, many of the top scientists in the country. I am saying that they were morally wrong to be involved with him. They should have known better. But the real monsters are the ones who did know better and just didn't care. Jeffrey Epstein enjoyed showing off his wealth and power by giving powerful men girls to have sex with. We don't know whether any of the scientists that were his pets took advantage of this or not, but they're all under suspicion now, and there should be investigations, and if any of them are caught up in it, their reputation should be ruined, and deservedly so, and I certainly wouldn't mind seeing Shank's reputation totally destroyed. Shank said to writer Daniel Engber, in an article where I'm getting most of these quotes, this guy was actually not a bad guy. I mean, put the 14-year-olds out of the picture. Those even make me think he was a bad guy. But to my knowledge, he was not a bad guy. He was a good guy. Which is probably the most bullshit sentence I've ever heard come out of someone who claims to be a scientist. You can't put the 14-year-olds out of the picture. They were in the picture. And he was a bad guy. We know this without question. Shank chose to believe that he was not a bad guy because he wanted to, even though all the evidence in front of his face told him that Epstein was a very bad guy. Scientists who look at evidence and choose to ignore it, we call those guys crackpots. Yes, Jeffrey Epstein did fund science, but he managed to do something really destructive. He put suspicion on many of our greatest scientists. Now we can look at them and think, did they or didn't they? The only one I know for sure who didn't would be Oliver Sacks. I don't know if he ever went to the island or what the timeline was or whether this was before Epstein's initial prosecution. But at least I know Oliver Sacks didn't have sex with any of his young women because he wasn't into women. But for the many others, we're all now looking at them with some suspicion. And that does more harm to science than whatever good Jeffrey Epstein did by throwing around his ill-earned money. Because here's the thing. Science depends on the credibility of the scientists doing it. If they're not credible, their science isn't credible. They need to have sterling reputations. And science has really taken a beating recently with the many, many cases of male scientists sexually abusing women and using their position as famous scientists to misbehave sexually. In the Me Too movement, it's getting harder and harder for them to get away with what they've been getting away with forever. Many of them have been exposed. Some of them have lost their jobs. Last year, the first of the scientists who have misbehaved, and that was Lawrence Krauss, theoretical physicist, he wound up trashing his career and paying quite a price for his serial bad behavior. The credibility of science is under attack if we do not filter out the scientists who commit sexual attacks. and there should be no taxpayer or government money going to scientists who are credibly accused of sexual misconduct.